every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Fun living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona, as we stop in here at the Urban Farm. If you'd like to join the conversation, talking fruit trees today with Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. When the audio attendant answers, just hit 1 to bypass the message, and it'll put you right into the studio. You can text questions to 411-923 or email info at rosieonthehouse.com. And I tell you, Farmer Greg, I just got back from the lands of fruits and nuts, as they call it, the San Joaquin Valley of California, the pretty part of California, just miles and miles of agriculture and trees and pistachios and almonds and corn and alfalfa, and I just,
wow.
I mean, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, always observe something that you're going to come back and apply to the little modest orchard at our Whitman plantation. And
mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, it really drives home a point, because you're out there and you see all this great production, but you start seeing all these little abandoned farmhouses of, mm-hmm. of people abandoning California. And it's like, this is so much of our food's grown here. And, you know, the transportation, there's fires all over the state. I mean, it was, you could smell smoke, and we were hundreds of miles from any active fire. And, you know, driving across the desert, and you've got the train that derailed over the bridge that,
in Tempe.
In Tempe, you know, just all the transportation and what it requires to get that produce all the way to your table. It really just drove home the importance of what we do here Saturday morning, teaching
growing
everyone.
Growing our own.
Growing our own.
Yes. Well, and I've been saying this for years, that, you know, the infrastructure and it's waning. And I've also been saying that, you know, we have a 3-day supply of food in any grocery store. And, you know, people would kind of look at me funny pre-6 months ago, and then all of a sudden in March, we go into grocery stores and all the grocery store shelves are empty. You know, it's like, all right, we got to take a pause here and start thinking about how to grow our own food.
And we can do that in relatively small spaces. We've got, at the Urban Farm, we're working on 1/3 acre.
Yep.
And over 100 fruit trees.
About 80 fruit
80.
Trees.
Okay.
Yeah, about 80 fruit trees. Now, I do have flood irrigation. So, you know, if you're not on flood irrigation, putting 80 fruit trees on a 1/4 acre probably is not a good idea. But you could put 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 fruit trees strategically placed in your space on 1/3 acre, 1/4 acre.
And that's one tree, and the right tree.
Mm-hmm.
Will produce more than you could probably eat in the season.
Exactly. I have a peach tree out front. My desert gold peach gives me about, 50 to 70 pounds of peaches in a 3-week period. That's a lot of peaches.
That, break out the canner.
Exactly.
You couldn't eat that many in that period of time.
Right, exactly. So we're going to start today by talking about how to kill your fruit trees.
Oh, I can do that.
Right, Rosie?
You got the right man on the job right here, buddy. All right.
So there's so many, and I've been doing this now. I've been growing fruit trees here in the valley since 1974, and I've been teaching people how to grow fruit trees here in the valley for almost 30 years. And I call it my Urban Farm Fruit Tree Education Program. So you can imagine, I get, just like you guys, you get phone calls and emails, right? I get phone calls and emails, and people send me a picture of a peach tree or an apple tree in the middle of their yard and say, oh my gosh, Greg, it died. Why did it die? And they put it in the middle of a gravel yard with block walls all the way around it and one drip emitter on it. And, you know, I just...
How long would you live out there like that?
That's exactly what I tell them. I say, go out this time of year and stand in your yard in the, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and say, how long do you want to live here? So we have to do a lot to make sure that we assure that the trees make it. And so that's a big part of what we're going to talk about today. But so planting and I have solutions for all of these, but planting a fruit tree, or really any tree, in gravel or dirt with concrete all around it, it's surefire you're going to kill the tree. Or if you plant it in Bermuda grass, and just, you know, let the grass take over around the tree. That's probably going to kill the tree. You have a funny look on your face there, Romy.
What's with the grass? Does it?
What's with the grass? The grass outcompetes the tree. So if you're going to plant in a grassy area, you just have to cut back a basin 6 feet, cut the grass out, put a basin in, put the tree in the middle, and then do my 6-6 rule, which we're going to talk about here in a little while.
So the grass can outcompete the tree.
Absolutely. I see it all the time in my neighborhood. Walking my neighborhood this morning, I saw some fruit trees that were in the middle of a lawn, and the grass was growing up around them, and they just take the nutrients away, and the trees suffer.
Hmm. Okay.
And then drip irrigation. If you have any of your trees on drip irrigation, they're probably not going to make it. Because drip irrigation puts a drip emitter up next to the tree trunk, 1 gallon per hour, and it comes on for an hour every morning or every 2 mornings or 3 mornings. And it doesn't give it enough water, and it gives it all in one place. And that's why in this time of year, during the storms, we see all kinds of trees that have just fallen over. So...
And you can do a lot more with drip. You can have multiple emitters. Uh-huh. You can have ones that go up to 10 gallons an hour.
Yep.
You can set it for multiple hours.
We have a drip ring. Our drip rings have 18 half-gallon per hour emitters on them in a circle. So you just plug that into your system. And then so that what that does is it evenly spreads the water out in the basin, which is real important.
So you can make it work with drip.
Yes.
It's just a lot of extra work. What would you, if you were starting from scratch, planting new, and you weren't on an irrigated property, mm-hmm. what would you go with, like the old-fashioned, or not old-fashioned, but the old-school bubblers?
Bubblers are best, absolutely. If you don't have irrigation, bubblers are best, and I usually like to tell people to put 2 bubblers in the basin. And then, so watering, we usually talk about this down the road, but we're on water now, so let's chat about it. Watering is really, really important. Overwatering a tree, the damage looks the same as underwatering a tree. So often what happens is people are, you know, sticking the hose or your bubblers or, you know, on the tree, and they think it needs to be watered once every 2 or 3 days. And I didn't make this up. Fruit trees get watered once a month in the winter and twice a month in the summer. Where did I get that? Flood irrigation. My flood irrigation, that's what it does, and my trees absolutely thrive. So what I teach people to do is even if you don't have flood irrigation, set your trees up in basins with woody mulch around them, and then deep water them once a month in the winter, twice a month in the summer. It's like a mantra, once a month in the winter, twice a month in the summer, and... what that does is that deep waters them. So if you are watering your tree and you're watering it every 3 or 4 days and it starts to droop, what are you going to think?
I got to add more water.
You got to add more water. Exactly. So then what people do is they add more water and it droops a little more and they add more water. And before long, you've killed the tree because you've overwatered it. And more often than not, people overwater their trees to death. So... I have this whole planting methodology in my fruit tree program. It basically looks like this. You plant citrus in October, November. You plant deciduous in January and early February. And you during that period of time, you water them once a month. When it gets hot on April 15th-ish, you start watering it twice a month. So by the time June 1st hits, when it gets really hot, if your tree starts drooping, you water it on June 1st. And if it starts drooping by... June 8th, 9th, or 10th, you know you're not overwatering it, so you need to give a little more water. And the thing is, if you plant them right and if you nurture them right, per what I've discovered over the past 20 years, you may have to water your trees more than once a month in the winter, twice a month in the summer, the first year. But after the first year, you're golden. I've seen it over and over and over again.
So that's the 3 ways to kill it: drip irrigation, grass, yep. And dirt and gravel.
Yep, exactly. And so today what we're talking about is your 3 keys to successful fruit tree growing in the valley. And number one is what you need to know before you buy your trees. Number two is planting for our extreme environment here. And number 3 is making sure your trees thrive in our environment. So key 1, what you need to know before you buy your trees. Do you know that you can go into most nurseries and every big box store and they will sell you a fruit tree that will never make fruit?
In Arizona.
In Arizona.
It might in a other climate or higher altitudes, but
exactly
for the desert floor, Tucson, Phoenix, it
takes special trees. You can't walk into a Costco or a Home Depot and trust that the trees you're going to buy are going to give you fruit. And when you're buying a fruit tree, you're buying it with the hope and praise that you're going to get fruit off of it, right?
And most fruit trees don't start producing in the first year. So by the time you figure out that, you know, this isn't one that's going to work, you're a couple years into it and you've got a connection to the tree and you don't, you know, last thing you want to do is start over.
Exactly. Plus, so I tell people all the time, it's okay to experiment if you know you're experimenting. I experiment with fruit trees all the time, but I know I'm experimenting. If you walk into Costco, I was at Costco earlier this year, and of the deciduous trees, those are the kind of trees.
I didn't even know you could get trees at Costco.
I know, right? Of the deciduous trees at Costco, there were like five or six varieties. It was later in the season, and four of them would never make fruit here in the valley.
And we'll talk about what it is Farmer Greg can identify quickly to know that it is not something that would do well in this environment. Has to do with chill hours, but we're going to take a quick break. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. When the auto attendant answers, just hit number one to bypass that, and that'll put you right in the studio.